Going to begin just, it's December and we're approaching the Advent, if you will, and going to do a short series on the Word become flesh here in the morning, anticipating a three-part series. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, give your attention now. This is a reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, and infallible Word. It's our only rule of faith and practice. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So far, the reading of the Word of God. May that Word dwell in us richly. Let's go before the throne once more. Our Father, as we have worshipped in various ways, we now would worship by hearing the Word preached. You have ordained that through the foolishness of that message, the power of God would go forward to change sinners' hearts and encourage the saints' faith. So we pray that will happen even now. Bless the speaker and the hearers, that we may glorify and honor you. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, in the very iconic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey says at one point, "I think it would have been better if I'd never been born." And the whole movie is about him finding out how providential his life really was. In other words, it meant so much to others. What if Jesus had never been born? What if there was no nativity? So what? But why did he have to be born anyway? Well, the short answer is to save sinners. He came to be the mediator between God and man because sin has made all mankind enemies with God. Those are pretty profound and big statements. There's a real reason why he came. And God cannot free sinners unless sin is paid for. I think sometimes there's a mentality out there that if we just apologize to God. Oh, sorry, God. Oh, I'm all set. That's not the way it works. Your sin, the least sin, has to be paid for. And the least sin is an eternal affront to an eternal and holy God. You can't say, well, my little teeny sin, who needs a Savior for that? You do. God is too holy to just take your offhand apology and say, oh, okay, all things are good. No, the infinite debt demands infinite ransom. So, the infinite God, as we've read in John 1, the maker of all things, becomes man in the person of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:4-5 tell us that in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, the incarnation, the Son of God taking on human nature, the Word became flesh, verse 14. That's an astounding statement. But we read John 1. We've read it so many times, we almost pass over this. Word became flesh. We even sing in one hymn, don't we? Late in flesh appearing. 1 Timothy, Paul writes, God was manifested in the flesh. There's no doubt who this Word is. You have to do some really incredible mental and theological gymnastics to say that John 1 is not talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ was born of a woman, yes. He was born as a babe in a manger. Why is this so important? We're going to think about that a little bit this morning. Without Jesus being born of a woman, you would not know God. And yet the full deity of the Word, verses 1 and 2, He was with God and was God. Again, there's no way to play Greek translation, theological implication games with what this is saying. The Word, the Logos, Jesus, was God, is God. The eternal God who in the beginning. You understand that Jesus Christ always was there. There was never a time when there wasn't Jesus. We almost think, maybe subconsciously, but we almost think, well, there wasn't a Jesus until Mary had him. Well, it's hard for our minds to think any differently. We look at you and we say, oh, we know when you were born, by whom, where, all those circumstances. And before you were born, there wasn't a Bob Garrity. But long before, forever before, there's always been a Jesus. That's hard for us to think through. The Word was with God. From all eternity, there's always been a Jesus Christ, God's Son. But when the fullness of time came, He took on flesh. He became man. You understand that the Messiah and the Father are one and the same, and yet they're very different. And when you start talking like that, you go down a theological road that's very hard for the mind to stay cognizant of. They are different persons, but the same God. That's the mystery of godliness. Brothers and sisters, I could try to explain this theology to you in the most basic of terms, and it still would remain a mystery. But do you want to be introduced to God? May I present Jesus Christ? I point to Him. How can you know God? The only way you're going to know God is if God makes Himself known to you. How has He made Himself known to you? The Incarnation. His birth as a baby. His life as a man. A man who ate and slept and wept, who was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. These are all things that the Bible tells us. And yet, it tells us He was Emmanuel, God with us. Brothers and sisters, you can get to know the real, true God by getting to know Jesus. Jesus was a real person who came into the world and lived and had a history, factual, real history. Without His being born, you wouldn't know God. Without His being born, you wouldn't know what the meaning of life is. Verses 3 and 4. What is the word all about? The world all about? Well, first of all, you got to start at the beginning. All things were made through Him. If your starting point is that we are slime that oozed out of ooze and is oozing back into ooze, if that's your understanding, you don't know what life is all about. But the Creator of all things is Jesus Christ. Do you understand that the Lord, the little babe in the manger, made the stars? He formed man out of dust and breathed into him the breath of life. All things came from Him. And He's the one who said to the oceans, "This is how far you can go." He's the one who made every animal. Isn't it astounding that every now and then you watch something like National Geographic or The Blue Planet or one of those shows, and they show you some animal and you go, "Really? I didn't even know that was on the earth." He made every plant, everything out of nothing. I'm talking about Jesus now. Every kind was made by Him. Each species came from Him. Without Christ, there's not one thing that came to be. If you thought that through, what an appreciation you would have for Him. All things are from Him, to Him, and for Him. All things are for His glory, because He is Christ. He is God. And He is the source of all light. All light and life come from Jesus Christ. You realize that every good thing that you enjoy, every blessing of life comes to you from Jesus? What do you attribute? Your providential care. The roof over your head. Just your job, your money, your creative financing, and all that sort of that. Is that why you're blessed? Let's go back to Adam and Eve. Where did they get their life from? From God. From Jesus. Where do you get your deliverance from? They fell in sin. You get your deliverance from the same God, Jesus Christ. Even if man stays in the dark willingly, the light of Christ is still there. It has come into the world. And you cannot deny the statements of Scripture like, "No one comes to the Father but by Him." If you want to know light and to see eternal life, It is found in Jesus Christ and none other. Why is it so important? This is the gift of God to sinners. Believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the light to every man. Brothers and sisters, only Jesus can chase the darkness away. There's an awful lot of people out there still looking for meaning, purpose. What's life all about? And I know it's been commercialized and secularized. You all know He wasn't born on December the 25th. But there's a whole history of circumstances that push that to this date. And we think about it. Every December. Why is it important? This is the way light came into the world. There wasn't just a flash. There was a baby. Born to a mom and a dad. Under governmental restriction. And He was born. Without this birth, you would miss the greatest gift of all. Verses 12 and 13. Many as received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. To whom? To those who believe. The sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Those who are born from above have this marvelous gift. Have you received it? Received it is more than just hearing about Him. Lots of people hear about Jesus and never do a thing. Lots of people hear about Jesus but never acknowledge His existence. They treat Him, you know the way they treat Jesus? Almost as if He were as fantastical as the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. They just sort of lump Him in the same group. Brothers and sisters, it's not enough to hear the old story. Lots of people hear the old story and don't receive Him. Don't accept Him. But He was born so that you might accept Him. Have you put on this Christ? Have you dwelt in this Christ? Has Christ changed your heart? Brothers and sisters, if you have received Jesus, there are lots of things that are true about you. One of them is that you have a sense of your own wickedness. You realize you were in the dark. You know your own sin and the need that you had of salvation. And you've come to trust that Jesus is the one who has solved this sin problem. If you have received Him, you've come to a place where you start to love others. You don't just look at yourself. You started to forsake the world. There are aspects of the world that you're willing to leave behind to follow Christ. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Is any of that happening in you? Without His birth, you would not be born. That verse 13. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But God brings to life those who believe. Have you repented of your sin? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin. And you'll be saved. And as you receive Christ, you will begin to walk in Christ. And yes, things will change. If you're a real Christian, you're somebody who reads the Bible on some level. And you have a desire, on some level, to do what the Bible says. That's not true of you. You haven't received Christ yet. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of God took on human attributes in order to save sinners who are human. And so we celebrate this birth, this miraculous fashion in which He came into the world. You realize there'll never be another birth like Jesus, another conception like Jesus. What a marvel! God with us. We say it. Emmanuel, that's what it means. We say it so cavalierly. But this God came in flesh, just like yours and mine. He read the scriptures. He was tempted. He obeyed the law. He shed real blood. He gave His real life. He was buried in a real grave. And He is no longer dead. For real. That's the whole story, if you will. And all the time that He did those things, He was God in two natures. One person. Don't ask me to explain it. It's a mind-boggling mystery. No preacher, although there are some preachers who do a better job than I might, but no preacher can completely explain how He is always God and always man, fully and in both persons, how He could be veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. But that's the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. And here's the perfect pattern for you to follow. Walk as He walked. Now, how do you do that? Well, you read His Bible. Find out what He said about how to live your life. Jesus Christ is God in a human body just like yours. For me, one of the mind-boggling things to think about is that He's somewhere right now. Where? I can't point to a place and say, oh, there He is. And one day, He will raise at the last day your body. And since His incarnation, He came in a true body, died in a true body, rose in a true body, will come again in a true body. Not some fantasy, phantom, ghost, but He will return in body. He is forever God. You know, this time of year is kind of a time where people are dissatisfied. Oh, I hope I get this. I hope I get that. Verse 16, of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. You will never be satisfied without knowing Jesus Christ. All you can ever need, ever want, is found in Him. And one of the reasons you're so dissatisfied is you haven't looked to Him for your fullness. Jesus is what? The all in all, the Bible says. You realize that everything other than Jesus Christ disappoints? Doesn't last? Isn't really enough? If you didn't have the birth of Jesus, you would still be under the law, verse 17. Law came through Moses. But the law can't justify. Only faith in Jesus justifies. Because, brothers and sisters, the law is a curse to anyone who can't keep it perfectly. Can you? No. What does the Bible say in Galatians? The law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. That's where it's taking us. God sent grace and truth to us through who? Through Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his finished work. And through him comes to us what? Mercy, forgiveness, cleansing, freedom. That's what Jesus did for you. Do you think of that when you think of the Nativity? Without this birth, you would never have seen God. Verse 18, no one has seen him at any time. But Jesus Christ makes known to you the impossible, the unknowable. You remember a little later in John when Philip says, how do you know it's me? Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You looking for God? Look right here at me, at Jesus. He is the overall God blessed forever. Romans 9, verse 5. Again, you want to know God? May I present Jesus Christ? The world doesn't like to think that. He's not just a mere baby. He's not just any man. But he's God in reality, in the flesh, in the full. And the more that you see and know Jesus, the more of God you will see and know. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. And brothers and sisters, it's his words, his deeds, his life, his death that teaches us what we need to know about God. Problem is that we are all too familiar. Every year, we come back to the same subject. We think about the birth, the life, but all his attributes that we can understand, God's attributes, are on display in Jesus Christ. He was manifest in the flesh. The brightness of his glory, the express image of God, is found in this person. I suppose we've heard it said before, keep Christ in Christmas. Jesus is the meeting point between the Trinity and sinful man, between the Trinity and your soul. Without him, there's no life at all. And so, brothers and sisters, we must exalt him more and more. Must rest all our hope on him. Give him all of our sins. And rejoice in what we're about to celebrate. His shed blood. His broken body. That's what's redeemed us. That's why he was born. That's why the Word became flesh. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we do come before you, who are the infinite, unchangeable, everlasting, loving God. And Father, we would stand before you, washed in his blood, robed in his righteousness, and trust, O Lord, that you would help us to know you better by coming to Christ fully, believing, resting our hope upon him. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.